Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Trump administration is moving quickly to build new border barriers across large stretches of the Texas-Mexico border. In Webb and Zapata counties, federal officials are considering more than 100 miles of primary border wall, along with roughly 300 miles of floating barrier in the Rio Grande. In the Big Bend region, the plans include vehicle barriers, new Border Patrol roads, expanding surveillance infrastructure, including construction inside Big Bend National Park. The Department of Homeland Security says these projects are necessary to deter illegal crossings and drug trafficking and to give Border Patrol agents more time to respond. But landowners and environmental groups warn the construction could clear sensitive river habitat, block wildlife migration, damage historic and cultural sites, and increase flood risk along the Rio Grande. The administration has waived numerous environmental and historic preservation laws to speed up the work. Now, conservation organizations and West Texas residents are challenging those waivers in federal court. What does this new construction mean for the Rio Grande, the wildlife that depend on it, and the communities that live along the border? And how can the federal government strengthen border security without permanently damaging one of Texas's most environmentally sensitive regions? You can call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. With me to talk about this today, we're joined by Lincoln Jordan. He is the National Public Lands Advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity. Lincoln, welcome to The Source.
Great to be back, Dave.
Also with us, Tricia Cortez is the Executive Director of the Rio Grande International Studies Center. Tricia, it's great to have you on the air.
Happy to be back with you, David.
And also with us is David Cortez. He is the Director of the Sierra Club Lone Star Chapter. And Dave Cortez, welcome to The Source.
Howdy, good to be here.
Tricia, give me an update on what's going on in Zapata and right now, because I know there were bulldozers, there were people out there trying to stop that. What is happening?
Right. So in Zapata County, just downstream from Laredo, you have an historic 200-year-old town of San Ignacio, and the bulldozers have started to arrive, and you now have people starting to gather, willing to stand their ground against the bulldozers and are willing to risk getting arrested. And because they're moving without getting permission from private property owners and also from Zapata County, and they're using this obscure issue of this elevation line that got established when Falcon Reservoir was built back in the 50s. But it's very, very ambiguous, and we need the federal government to prove that. And if people are not aware of what is happening with the wall and buoy system, you must get aware. It's outrageous and it's heartbreaking, and people need to be up in arms. It's one of the hugest land grabs by the federal government in our history, and it's a massive untested project. It is obscenely expensive, and it will fail. We contracted a fluvial geomorphologist, a river expert, Dr. Mark Tompkins, who concluded this, and for a place like Laredo that's extremely urbanized with 260,000 people and 800,000 when you include Nuevo Laredo, the most frightening part of this dangerous wall and buoy system is the conclusion that it will lead to inevitable systems failures and catastrophic flooding. This is a life or death situation for us. There's 25 neighborhoods in Webb and Zapata, tens of thousands of people that live along the river who will now be vulnerable to risks that don't currently exist. And so for us, David, this has become a firestorm in our community. And it's not just in Laredo. There is not a single community along the entire border, the four states, that wants this project. There's more to say, but I just wanted to give you the high-level overview of what's happening right now.
All right. So over in West Texas, around the Big Bend region, there's been a lot of news about efforts to build a border wall out there, Lincoln Jordan. What's happening now? I know that a lawsuit has been filed, but what is the plan?
Yeah, so these rural West Texas communities are bracing for permanent destruction of their land, of their river, of their national park. We've already got contractors flooding into the area. There are man camps that have been established. There are actually steel bollards coming in that are on the ground in staging areas. These are areas just upstream of the national park. So it's happening very quickly. And just last week, the federal government gutted decades of environmental protections to speed this project forward. We filed a lawsuit a few days later challenging this. We actually amended an existing lawsuit arguing that this authority that they're using to wipe out these protections is completely unconstitutional. But while we wait for the judge to step in, they are rapidly moving forward. And they've got their targets set on the national park. They've made some statements suggesting that they might not build walls in the park, but they've also issued a construction contract worth $1.7 billion. On the contract itself, it says for border wall in Big Bend for the segment in the park. And the waiver as well explicitly authorizes physical wall construction. So we're bracing. We're very confused. Communities are outraged. There has been no outreach from CBP. CBP has not met with landowners, not met with the public. We're fighting for our lives down here, and we're fighting for access to the Rio Grande.
The majestic beauty of Big Bend National Park, is that in jeopardy?
Yeah, I mean, truly it is. If this project goes forward, we would be looking at the total industrialization of one of the most remote stretches of that park, the stretch along the river, which is also ecologically the most important for wildlife, for recreation, for river runners, for boaters. Even if they don't build the physical wall, they're still moving forward with plans to blast through mountains to build what they're calling an enforcement road. Nobody is crossing in the park. The Big Bend sector already has the lowest crossings of anywhere. It makes up about 1% of all border crossings, and that's a whole quarter of the U.S.-Mexico border. And in the park itself, officials have said that that accounts for about 0.02% of total national crossings. So there is no justification for this. There are much better ways, if you really want to crack down on that 0.02% of border crossings, than building a multi-billion dollar wall through a protected national park.
Dave Cortez at the Sierra Club. These are areas that previously under border wall construction were left alone because they were environmentally sensitive. So this is where we're at right now. The most environmentally sensitive areas are now going to be bulldozed to build a wall.
That's exactly right. I think one thing we've learned from this administration is that the law is an afterthought. Their special interests are the first thought, and the demands and requests of the people on the ground also are an afterthought. No one is asking for this, from the local sheriffs to all the folks that Lycan mentioned, even all the way up into Hudspeth County in El Paso, where, you know, in El Paso we have Mount Cristo Rey, a sacred site, a religious site where my family and my relatives and my neighbors would pilgrimage every Easter to go pray at the cross. The administration has decided we're going to go ahead and blast that with dynamite so we can put in these roads that Lycan mentioned. And you go all the way down the river, whether we're talking Big Bend Ranch State Park, or all the way down to Santa Ana National Wildlife Refuge. The environmental protections in place have all been waived to pave the way for contractors friendly to the administration, friendly to the GOP, to come in and go ahead and destroy what's been special for many generations of Texans, many generations of Americans, and frankly, people all over the world. I've been getting text messages and emails from not just Corpus to Van Horn to Dallas, but as far away as Minneapolis, Minnesota, and some friends in Perigo, France, asking me, is this really happening? Aren't there laws to prevent this? And when I tell them that it is, everybody's got the question, what can we do to stop it?
Is this about immigration and drug enforcement, Dave?
Frankly, this is a lifelong Texan, as a lifelong fronterizo from El Paso. This is purely about politics. There are certain areas along the border where we could see that there was a lot of folks crossing over to seek asylum and find a better way of life for their families. Many of these areas are not like that. We see in Arizona, where Lycan's working a lot, where they're actually building double wall, not just one wall. There's already a wall built. They're building an additional wall behind the existing wall. And it makes you really question, what is the motive here? And when you start to peel back the onion and see where the money's going, it makes it really clear. This sells well for the Trump administration's base of support. It's a lot of money to be made to contractors that are close to former Secretary Noem and others. And frankly, I think anybody who is concerned about immigration and law enforcement should look towards the sheriffs of West Texas and listen to their statements about how unnecessary this is. Look to the folks like Trisha down towards Laredo and further south about how safe border communities are. And get in touch with your members of Congress. We've had more than 3,000 Texans send letters to Governor Abbott and the members of Congress saying that we don't want this to happen. We don't want these walls and buoys up and down our river.
Got to take a break here. We're going to get back here. I'm going to get Jack on the air. He's called in. If you want to call in, if you've got experience out there, if you've been out to Big Bend, you don't want to see it permanently scarred by this construction, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues after a one-minute break. Stay with us.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're hearing about border wall construction in the Big Bend National Park, the Rio Grande Valley, Laredo area, threatening wildlife, Rio Grande, and people in the region, and how some are organizing, trying to fight back. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Jack. And Jack, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, Texas has about 1,200 miles of border with Mexico. And in the past few years, the state of Texas has had archaeologists kind of steering contractors around important cultural resources, archaeological sites, Spanish colonial sites, cemeteries. Many of these resources were mapped in the 70s and 80s prior to GPS technology. And, you know, these construction outfits really need an archaeologist to kind of guide them around those resources and make sure that new ones that are not recorded aren't going to get impacted. Brewster County, where Big Bend is, that's got the highest volume of archaeological sites compared to any other county in Texas. I mean, they really need somebody out there to, you know, really keep an eye on some of these cultural resources, especially the cemeteries.
Jack, thanks for calling in with that. Lincoln Jordle, he is with the National Public Lands. He's an advocate at the Center for Biological Diversity. Is that happening?
Absolutely not. And yeah, Jack hit the nail on the head. I used to work at Big Bend National Park, and the archaeology there is world class. Like he mentioned, it's the highest concentration of archaeology sites anywhere, and it's right along the river. Of course, people for millennia have been drawn towards the water, just like wildlife. So that has the highest concentration, the highest density of archaeological sites in the entire region. And the Department of Homeland Security, instead of hiring extra archaeologists to do surveys, has completely waived the Native American Graves Protection Act, the National Historic Preservation Act. So because they have used these waivers, they are not obligated to have any archaeologists on site when the bulldozers show up, when a dynamite truck show up. And based on what we'd seen in construction areas in Arizona, they are not doing their due diligence to protect this cultural history. So as the wall goes up, we will be losing our natural history, our archaeology, at rates that, frankly, I don't think we've ever seen in Texas before.
Tricia Cortez, the executive director of the Rio Grande International Studies Center based in Laredo. So we've got wildlife habitat, like birds habitat, along the Webb and Zapata County River Corridor. There's a lot of brush and things that it's necessary for the wildlife. So what happens during this clearing for barrier construction?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that it's not just a 30-foot steel wall and these 15-foot buoys that are stretching for hundreds of miles down the middle of a very dynamic river channel. What the feds also do is they seize and confiscate and condemn land up to about 250 feet off the riverbank. That's like the width of a 5-lane highway. That's their security enforcement zone. It will become the property of U.S. government. It will become militarized with all off limits to the public. We lose access to the river. And they're able to do this, as Lakin mentioned, because they waive all of the acts and they go all of these federal laws, the Endangered Species Act, all of the preservation and environmental laws. So they don't have to do any assessments of anything. And so as they come in and get their security enforcement zones after they condemn and confiscate land, they go in and they devegetate and denude the entire banks. And this is just setting up our borderlands for failure and catastrophic flooding because of the erosion and all of the sedimentation that comes with that. And so the impact isn't just to the natural habitat and wildlife. The impact is to people's lives because they have waived the NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. And so they don't have to do all of the extensive flood impact studies and hydraulic studies, which is in a place like Laredo, is going to put thousands of people's lives at risk with such a system.
Well, so Tricia, we're having flooding now, mm-hmm. I imagine. I mean, we're getting a lot of water out of, a lot of rain. So is there flooding now in the Rio Grande? Is what you're talking about, could that be happening now?
Well, the river floods, the flood of 2010, for example, from Hurricane Alex, the remnants of that, the river in Laredo crested at 42.5 feet. Imagine a river rising to 42.5 feet and it expands. And so it is moving a lot of energy and massive amounts of water. And so so the reason why the catastrophic flooding will happen and failures is because the 30-foot steel wall, it only has these 4-inch slats. So it almost serves like a solid wall. You're devegetating, denuding the entire riverbank. There's nothing to slow it down. So it's going to straitjacket the river, which means water levels will rise even further and the velocity will increase even further. And because you are dealing with hundreds of miles of buoys connected to a soft riverbed by concrete and steel chains, once those get dislodged and all of the debris that comes down during these flood events, shipping containers, animals, trees, and they hit up against the wall. And once there's a rupture, that is going to concentrate the energy of those floodwaters and create very, very dangerous conditions and situations. So flooding does exist, and we get these rare moments that are incredibly intensive. And that's where a lot of our concern is focused on, David, especially as Lakin mentioned, the CBP is not sharing much and they don't have to do much either because the federal government has suspended nearly 30 laws. And I think people in Texas and the United States should know that whatever the government gets away with and gets to do here on the border, they're going to do it in your community too. This is almost like a testing ground. So people need to know that. And we cannot allow these very dystopian and unneeded massive infrastructure projects to come in and take over our lands and our river for the long haul.
Dave Cortez, director of the Sierra Club Lone Star Chapter, I mean, is there a way forward if people are going to fight back on this? Because it does seem like the Trump administration, they've allocated these billions and billions of dollars. It's easy to get these things passed through Congress, and suddenly they have a war chest and they have to spend the money, and they have contractors lining up to do it. And so they come up with these plans to build border walls, which may not be necessary, but they're able to satisfy contractors and donors and get this thing done. But can anyone do anything about it?
Well, we've got support. First off, any West Texan knows this lovely thing called the monsoon, and it's here. It's here early, and it's coming strong. So we look forward to seeing these contractors attempt to do what they want to do amidst flooding and amazing rain that's going to help bust the drought out in West Texas. That will help slow things down. And while that's happening, let's get organized. You know, I encourage everybody to Google an old friend of mine, Army veteran Judy Ackerman, rest in peace. In 2006, she was one of the first people to stop the construction of the border wall outside El Paso in the Rio Bosque wetlands. And she's got a tremendous story about that that's going to inspire you to stand up. And I think everybody can organize together, make a list of friends and family who care about Big Bend, who care about the Rio Grande River, who care about the Santa Ana National Wildlife Refuge, and let them know that this is happening. People can email us at lonestar.chapter@sierraclub.org or follow No Border Wall and No Big Bend Wall on social media. And we can send you links to contact your members of Congress. We can get you information to help let your friends and family know that this is happening, despite what we hear in the news sometimes that it's not. And we'll get people registered to vote. We'll get people who need to change their voter registration because their name changed or they moved. We'll get that updated. And we're going to see a wave mobilize here in a few months to run out people who have allowed this funding to move forward. And we're going to get new people in, and we're going to have to continue organizing at the state and federal level for months and years to come, because this will be a generational fight.
So, Dave, I've been covering the border wall since the beginning, since it was a George W. Bush thing. And all the fights have been very fragmented and very localized. But are things changing now where communities up and down the border are coming together to fight this?
I'm so grateful for people like Licken and Tricia and everyone else out there listening that's worked so hard to defend the Rio Grande and defend the communities up and down the river, but also all the way to San Isidro and in California, where this destruction has been going on along the border. And communities are banding together in ways I've not seen. I've been doing this work for 20 years, and it's truly inspiring to see these communities unite, stand together in one message, and reject what nobody's been asking for. But for any listener out there who's not on the border, you have a role to play too. You can contact a member of Congress. I know it might seem futile. You can talk with us and get connected to communities on the border. And your story is just as important as anybody else's, because it's going to take that movement to win.
Dave Cortez is the director of the Sierra Club Lone Star Chapter. Tricia Cortez is the executive director of the Rio Grande International Studies Center based in Laredo. Lakin Jordal is the National Public Lands Advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity. Thank all of y'all for coming on today, talking about the border wall construction and what that looks like moving forward. Appreciate that. And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.